Welcome to the Van Hack Podcast, the podcast for tech talent that wants to get hired abroad.
Good. So we are back and we had an incredible session with Ilya and Mauro about like work from everywhere. But now we are going to have a great opportunity to talk about something that it's so important and sometimes we just skip it and we don't think about it. And in this opportunity, I am with Humira, who is the founder of Lokeld, a talent development platform created to help women and unrepresented people to accelerate their careers through mentorship, workshops, and community. Welcome, Humira. Welcome. Please, can you introduce a little bit about yourself before we started?
Sure. Thank you so much for having me, Maria, Team Van Hack. So I'm Humira Ahmed. I'm the founder and CEO of Lokeld, which is a platform, like Maria mentioned, to help people accelerate their careers. We primarily work with diverse folks. Personally, I am from Pakistan. I'm an immigrant, which is why I love, you know, what you're doing. When I moved, I was doing software engineering. I did that for 2 years. When I moved to Canada, I didn't have a choice. My family moved and I had to move with them. I was in third year of software engineering and interesting thing happened. So did 2 years in Pakistan, credits were transferred. So I was in third year right off the bat. And I was either one of the few women in a class of 160 in third year or the only one. And it was the first time I just had feelings of isolation and maybe imposter syndrome. I just didn't have a label at the time. I moved into communication studies. I ended up dropping out after 8 months of that, trying to belong. I worked in the tech industry for over a decade and a bit. Actually, now it's 15 years. I'm a mother of two. I'm often, a lot of times, especially in the Victoria, I'm in Victoria right now, our tech community, one of the few female founders. But also, a lot of times, like coming from my background, probably the only immigrant female founder. And so I know this topic and I thank you for having me. I hope that gives you enough context about who I am, what I do, why I'm passionate about it and why I'm here.
Great. Yes. And today we are going to discuss imposter syndrome, right? Yeah. And the numbers about imposter syndrome are like impressive. Number of like say 70% of people report having experienced imposter syndrome in their lifetime. Mm-hmm. And when this happens, it can result in burnout, lack of balance, constant sense of insecurity. Yeah. But how will you describe imposter syndrome?
Yeah, all those things are true. I think imposter syndrome, in a way, I mean, I think we have a bit of a label now. It's just feeling like I'm not good enough. It's a feeling of, you know, just like, I don't know what I'm doing here. There's other people who are better than me. I would say if I had to just say one word, like, it's just, I'm not good enough. Or what am I doing here? I don't belong or I don't fit in. So that's how I would describe it. And that's okay.
Yeah. And what do you think is like the root or the cause that we have imposter syndrome sometimes in our lives?
Yeah, I have worked with thousands of women. 66% of those women have been from underrepresented communities. It is a common thread. And I think just even feeling that, you know, that fear of, you know, rejection, fear of not knowing, fear of not fitting in. And I think it really happens when you are doing something new, when you are doing something that, you know, is probably, you know, requires you to be courageous, something where there's an opportunity for you to learn, something, you know, and like you mentioned, most people have faced it at least once in their lifetime. I believe everybody faces it at least once in their lifetime. It's also very common when you are, you know, whether it's work, whether it's life, you know, you interact with colleagues or other people. So as immigrants, as an example, or tech talent, you know, if you have not done something, you're going to feel it at some point because you're going to be like, well, I haven't done this before. And that's actually okay. But I think just even knowing, okay, I am having feelings of imposter syndrome, and it's because I haven't done this before. So opportunity to grow, right? And learn something new. Or I don't know anybody who was in my shoes before who's done this successfully. So again, not having that representation. And but just even saying that I am feeling imposter syndrome, but most people feel it. I think it even Oprah felt it. Like, if Oprah can feel it, it's okay to feel it, right? But I think having that label has been helpful to say, here's how I feel, and it's only because I'm doing something new.
Okay, and now that you mentioned about women and everything, I would like to know that it's most likely to get imposter syndrome. It's more common for women to have it, or it's also like for everyone.
Yeah. You know what? I think there is truth in that, but I also think there's truth in this, especially when we're talking about work, especially when we're talking about women in tech, especially when we talk about women in male-dominated industries. And it's actually, if you think about it, it's pretty clear why. It's because there's not enough women. So again, lack of representation. We haven't seen, it's hard to be something you haven't seen before, right? It's, you know, they say you can't be what you can't see. The thing is, if we haven't already seen a lot of that happen, like we don't see a lot of women in executive leadership. We don't see a lot of women engineers becoming managers and leaders, right? So we don't see that. And that's the reason, because if we don't have that representation, obviously we're going to, like in Victoria, as an example, I get called upon to speak on many diversity platforms or panels, right? But but I always just think like, who has done it before? Can I talk to somebody? Can I just, you know, because I've spoken probably over 1,000 times, but I still feel like, okay, if it's a new topic, I've been called upon specially, I must say something that's new, right? And so I think about who has done this before. Can I approach them? And there's nobody like me here. And so it's hard, right? But I do it time and time again so that other people who can relate to me can go, oh, if she has done it, if she can do it, so can I. So I will just say that it's because a lot of times women have not been in those fields or positions or even positions of influence, of power or leadership. That's why we face it more. Because when we're faced with those opportunities, we go, oh, but who do I know that's done it? If nobody comes to mind, all of a sudden I'm feeling, you know, that fear, self-doubt, like, I don't know, can I do it? Why has nobody done it before successfully? And so I think that's the reason, like, again, anytime you are faced with those feelings, it's most likely because it's something new. It's not commonplace. Like if you go to, you know, if you, I actually, okay, this might be too much information, but I have two daughters and, you know, I often don't drop them off or pick them up. My husband does. Whenever I do, I actually feel imposter syndrome in those situations more now, because traditionally women have been, I mean, there's a lot of women who pick up and drop off their kids, right? But I don't.
Yeah.
And a lot of times I go into those groups and they're talking about their stuff and they have their groups formed and they're talking about things that I have no idea about. I didn't know what PAC was, which is obviously parents, some kind of, I still don't know what the full form is, but it's where parents get together and they plan stuff for the school and the kids. And I just go, oh, what is PAC? Like, what's happening? So I feel like I don't know anything. And I feel self-doubt because, again, I don't do it enough. So, again, if it's uncharted territory, if you've never done it before, or if you've done it less, you're going to feel it. But I think we talk about it more in the workplace because of the industry that we're in, because there's not enough representation. So, yes, women and other underrepresented groups, and it could be for reasons even as simple as language. When I moved to Canada, obviously like in Pakistan, you know, a lot of people ask me that, like, how do you speak English and how do you have no accent? And I go, well, I did, but I didn't want to be made fun of. So I actually literally tried. And I would say, I would practice saying water, right? And my brothers would make fun of me because they'd be like, water? Like, we don't say water. And I'd say, yeah, but that's what people here say. And I remember that, you know, just feeling that going into workplaces, like I just felt like I didn't fit in. And mind you, this is 12, 13 years. Oh, sorry. Actually 16, 17 years ago. So it was even worse. People would make fun of you. And it was just like, I was like, I don't want to be made fun of. And then that created self-doubt, right? Because I was like, I don't know if I'm saying the right thing. What if they don't understand me? And that held me back. So for those of you who ever feel like your accent, your language, or anything holds you back, push through. Push through. Yes. If people don't understand you, it's on them, and maybe it's an opportunity for them to learn, but don't hold yourself back. You know how many situations women and other underrepresented people, they don't say what they have to say, even if they're super talented, right? We're just going to be quiet. But it's, it's just so, so just recognize, okay, I'm feeling imposter syndrome because I haven't done it before, or a lot of people don't do it, but I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do a great job.
Great. How we know that we are experiencing imposter syndrome, like how we know that we are having this, is not only because our minds are always saying things, right? So but totally. how we know that it's imposter syndrome in particular.
Okay, great question. So there's a few things. One is, as I mentioned previously, self-doubt. You're doubting your abilities. You're doubting yourself. Feel like, I don't know, can I do it? Like, is it okay if I do it? So feeling like, again, feeling not good enough, feeling that you may not do a great job, feeling that you may be made fun of, or you may be rejected. All those feelings can come, and it's okay. Sit with those feelings and push through. But yeah, self-doubt would be one. Then I would say again, when you feel anxious, when you feel nervous, when you feel, you know, like you're not prepared enough, or any of those feelings, just again, make progress. Try to be better at it. Identify that this is why I'm feeling it. The more I do it, the better I will get. Imposter syndrome, a lot of times when, you know, people are speaking, which is why public speaking, whenever you're going to do public speaking, especially in front of a live audience where you see people, it can be absolutely intimidating.
Oh, but, of course.
Right? But it's just, again, feeling like, oh my gosh, like, what if, you know, somebody thinks I am looking a certain way, or funny, or like funny, not in a good funny way, but like, she looks weird, or not coming across as confident. You know, you can feel that, because then the energy, right? Like you get it, and you just, and then you also radiate that, and it shows, right? So again, like fear of rejection, anxiety, anxiousness, nervousness, self-doubt. Sometimes, you know, people can have, their bodies can show that. Not just your heart and, you know, how you feel, but your body can sometimes just be like, sometimes people start to shake. Just know that you're feeling it. It's okay. Sit with it. But also identify, there are a few, I have some stuff written down. Just tell yourself this narrative. I am doing something courageous. I am doing something new. And that's a great thing. What's the worst that will happen, right? I will learn from it. I will grow. It's a challenge. And every challenge is an opportunity. So just, again, shifting your narrative. Also, please know, when you are faced with those feelings, you are on the path to growth. Again, because you are doing something new. And nobody is born with anything that they do brand new and they're perfect. You're not born with it. You have to practice it. So even like the biggest of speakers, the biggest of leaders, they practice. You practice. You belong there at that point in time. And if I can tell myself one thing over and over, is that, you know, I had to speak to 1,300 people a few years ago. That was my first time going from like speaking to 30 people or 50 people to now 1,300 people. I was invited. Wow. My immediate response was, I can't do it. Because I remember at the time, like Arlene Dickinson was supposed to show up. Like for those of you who don't know, she's one of the biggest venture capitalists in Canada, like very celebrated on TV, Dragon's Den. And she was going to be doing lunch keynote, and I was going to be doing morning keynote. And I was like, how are we the same? We're not the same. And I was like, oh my gosh. But one of those things, right? But I realized, I told myself, I belong here in this point of time. That's why I was invited. So I must have something amazing to say. So if you are invited, if you are given an opportunity, take it. Don't think, oh, why me? Say, why not me? So anyway, I'll go back to the thing. So also know, you will learn something new. So when you're faced with it, just know I'm going to learn something new. I may screw up. I may not do the best of what I'm used to doing. And that's okay, because I'm going to learn. And maybe worst cases, I do this thing and I realize, you know what? I actually didn't enjoy it. But if it's something that you want to do, just know you have to start somewhere. And that's okay. Start in a safe space. Practice, practice, practice. And then also, I mean, you can always benefit from somebody who's done it, right? So actively reach out to a mentor, coach, somebody, and just say, hey, look, you know, and somebody you don't know, because then you can be your true self and say, Maria, if we don't know each other, I'm going to say, Maria, you know what? Crap. I just spoke at this thing. Didn't do a good job. How can I do better? And maybe you haven't done this before, but I feel safe enough to share this with you versus going out and telling my team, oh, I didn't do a good job, because you can't do that. But anyway, find somebody who will listen to you and be that somebody for others when they are faced with it too.
That's good. We have like a testimonial that we want to share right now that it's there. So it's, hello guys, I have been struggling constantly with imposter syndrome. And in my mind, there is this voice saying, you can do it. It seems that everything that I know was totally deleted. And I have no idea how to do my job. It freaks me out. And I know this, you're not the only one, right, Leonardo?
Totally.
We have been like in this situation a lot of times, especially like during when you are in, like doing a challenge or something that is new for you. And how we can help others, right? Like how we can know that their other one is in this situation, human.
Yeah. Great question, Rose. Sorry, Leonardo, you felt this way, but you're not alone. A lot of people feel this way. I think, again, one is identifying it, right? Like, okay, I'm feeling imposter syndrome, so it's great that you recognize and acknowledge it. I'm feeling this way. My recommendation would be to try to make a list of all the amazing things you have done in your life. And if you look back and go, okay, this, all these things that I'm really good at some point I wasn't, but I got there, right? So that's my first recommendation after acknowledging that you are faced with it. Two is make a list of all the amazing things you have done in your career, in your life, and just look back at all your accomplishments and just go, okay, when I first started, I didn't know anything. I learned and I got better, right? When I moved to the new country or whatever your situation is, like I didn't know anybody. I couldn't even speak sometimes. I knew English, but I was so held back by my accent, right? Like I was constantly practicing, but I was like, okay, I'm identifying this is happening. A lot of people don't understand what I'm saying, but I still want to say, because, you know, I want to grow. And so I started to, and I don't recommend mimicking others, but that's what I did at the time. But I practiced, right? Like, okay, here's what I'm going to say. And even today, sometimes these things will happen where I'm just like, I don't know, like ESL. And that's okay to say, you know what? English is my second language. And that's actually amazing when that's your second language and you're still so good at it. And so then just kind of making a list of, again, all the things that you have done that have been amazing that you had to learn to do. And then I would also just know all these amazing speakers, all these amazing leaders, you know, you can look up to anybody, everybody feels nervous. Everybody feels self-doubt. It's how they show up in the world. It's they practice, right? There's a lot of speakers. I'm missing out on names right now, but when I'm faced with that, I go and look at people who I admire. I'll go on YouTube and I'll just go, okay, this person, and I look at their videos and they're amazing. They're flawless. But I know that they have faced imposter syndrome. So just again, looking at people, it's how do you still push through? There's fear, right? So there will always be fear. So there's two types of fear I talk about. One is the fear of rejection and failure. And the other is the fear of regret. Anytime you're faced with this, just think about the two types of fear. Like, okay, I'm feeling this fear, which is I don't want to fail. I don't want to be rejected. I don't want to feel like I can't do my job. But the other fear is what's going to happen if I don't do it? I'm going to lose out on opportunities. And 10 years from now, when I look back at my career, I'm going to go, wow, I wish I had pushed through. I wish I had tried, because it's so much harder to live with the regret. It's so much harder. Whereas rejection, failure, honestly, we're in startup world. If you, and we always say like fail fast, it doesn't mean that we want to fail. Nobody likes to fail, but fail fast. This is how I kind of, and maybe I can, I guess I'm sharing it now. This is how I navigate imposter syndrome. Worst case, I'm going to fail. And failure is more just not like life failure or whatever. It's more just, I'm just not good enough yet. And that's okay. And then it's an opportunity. Once you do it, you can also kind of go, is this something I want to be good at? If yes, you have to persevere and you can try all the tips and tricks, right? Like talk to people who have done it. But also it's an opportunity for me to see, is this for me? Do I want to do it? Right? And then if not, that's okay. I tried something new. It wasn't for me and that's fine. But self-doubt, feeling nervous, feeling anxious, feeling out of body experience, all common. Practice, practice, practice. And one thing if I can share is one of actually my mentors had shared this before, is try putting yourself in uncomfortable positions before they come to you. So as an example, this, I want everybody here to try this. You go to a restaurant and you see this window seat, right? There might be a reserve sign. There might be nobody sitting, but there might be that might be the only spot. You go to the restaurant and the server is putting you in some funky spot, right? Or any spot. But just go up and say, hey, can I sit there? Just try that. They might say, oh, no, 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 it's reserved or whatever. Or I don't know, we might have somebody come soon. Like whatever that might be, just try. Or sit first and then go, because that's even harder. Right?
It's yeah, of course.
But if what's the worst case scenario? They're going
to
say,
you move to other table. Yeah.
And yeah. Or like some other
you're
table.
You're going to eat anyway.
Yeah, totally. But that's the worst case scenario, right? They're not going to throw you out. They're not going to say, oh, here's Himera. She wants to move here. Like that's not going to happen, right? So just try that. Sit somewhere and just say, actually, I want to sit there. See what happens. Yesterday I was actually in Ottawa and, at a conference or the day before, sorry, I've been traveling the whole week.
No worries.
And there was this big room with just investors and they had a special pass to sit there, but it was the quietest space and I needed some work to be done with my colleague. So I looked there and I'm like, okay, we're going to go there and we're going to sit and we're going to work from there. And she was like, no, 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 this is not for us. This is for this particular group. And I was like, let's try it. So I go and we sit down and she's nervous, right? She's looking around. I'm like, stop it. Just we're working here. Nobody came to us. Even if somebody did, we would be like, oh, sorry. We didn't know that. Is there an issue if we sit here? What are they going to say? Oh, it's not for you. Like nobody was there. There was a few different people, right? So again, if you get what you ask for, you get what you try for and go for it, right? So just practice in those situations. So that would have been a situation for my colleague to just go and try. And I'm going to push her and be like, okay, next time you are going there. Because what's the worst case scenario? They're going to say, sorry, man, this is not for you. And I can argue about it or I could leave, but at least I tried. But what happened?
Good.
We actually ended up doing amazing work in little time because it was so quiet. So try, practice. Just it's okay. Like just put yourself in uncomfortable situations before they happen to you.
That's great. And I want to highlight that, like, it's not about like being fearless or something. It's about like feel the fear and do it, right? Like just
totally
think what is the thing that can happen. Himera, how has the imposter syndrome affect our careers?
Yeah. Great question. So imposter syndrome can affect our careers in both ways, both good and bad. You know, good in that when you feel it, again, you can acknowledge it and you can identify this is happening. This is how I'm feeling. However, this is not an opportunity for me to grow and I'm going to try and do something new. However, if you are given an opportunity where you haven't done certain thing before and you do not push through, you're going to miss out. You are not going to get the same opportunities again. Because if I ask him like, Maria, let's go speak on a stage with 500 people. You're going to be like, no, You could say no. Don't say that. You could say no. You could say no, but you missed out on an amazing opportunity because I thought you could do it because I have been in a situation and maybe we're very different. Maybe I am somebody, I'm an entrepreneur. I shoot my shot. I go for it. Right. But I was not always that way. I had to work hard and practice to get to that point because I've been on the other side where what's the worst that will happen? They're not going to kick me out. They're just going to say, oh, she's so nervous. And then I can be funny and I could be like, hey, you know, I'm just going to imagine you're all naked. Okay. And then I could just be like, you know, and it's funny, right? Like you could bring humor into it. So that's definitely one thing. Or you could go, Himera, I've never done it before, but I would love to try it. Thank you for trusting me. And then you can freak out later, right? And then you can call up everybody you know, your friends that you know, or even reach out to me and say, hey, Himera, I'm not sure how to do this. I said, yes, I want to do it. Thank you for thinking that I can do it. But how do I do it, right? And then we can have a chat about it. Or go to somebody trusted, right?
Or like, practice.
Absolutely. Always practice. Did you know the first piece that I did, 13 to 1300 people? And I was terrified. I remember I practiced it maybe 200 times. And I know that sounds like a lot, but I did because I also was on a timer. I had literally exact 17 minutes to do my presentation. But I practiced it like hundreds of times until I could speak in my sleep. Like I woke up the day that I had to speak and I didn't look at anything. And I practice, it's a safe space. Like it's me, nobody else is here. I practice, practice. I practice in front of a mirror, practice having my coffee. I practice. If you were there, I'd be like, Maria, want to hear my speech? I didn't care. I was just like, I need to practice this. So again, practice makes better. You might still forget. And there was somebody actually at the very event, they stopped. They forgot what they were saying. But she took a pause. Yeah. You know, she took a pause. She had her phone in her hand. And she took a pause and it's okay, right? And then she opened up her phone and she looked at what she was saying. Then she started again. She didn't freak out. You could tell, like we all knew she forgot what she was saying, but she stopped. She recognized this is happening. It's okay. I've got my phone. I'm going to look at it and that's fine. I think anytime you think I have to be perfect, enemy, that's your enemy. Perfect is the enemy of progress. And so I would just say that, you know, just really acknowledge that this is happening and know that there's only two things that can happen. The good is that, you know what, you're going to learn, you're going to keep on doing better and you will push through. You will push through. But if you don't, it will hold you back. You will not get the same opportunities as other people who are pushing through. Because I was actually I was just having lunch by myself yesterday in Vancouver and I overheard a conversation. There was this man sitting with a woman. I don't know what the relationship was, but he sat there with so much confidence. He's like, hey, this is the first time I have had a female boss, but she's just not assertive enough. And it was just, I kind of wanted to be more like, hey, tell me more. Obviously I'm still listening. And then the other person, it was a woman and she was like, maybe you're better at this job. And he was like, no. I know she's better than me and she knows more than me. It's just how she interacts. She's just not as confident. And I was like, here's my card. Like I wanted to be like,
I don't
okay, send her to me. Totally. But here's the thing. People notice it and it can hold you back, right? So we don't want to be held back because that's the bad thing that can happen to us. If you hold back, you're not going to get the same opportunities as people who don't even know as much as you do because they're out there. I think we can all practice. We can be better. Shoot the shot always. Just if this is the one thing you write on your computer, on your room, somewhere, wherever you work out of, shoot the shot. Ask for it. If you don't, somebody else will and they'll get the opportunity. Because guess what? Even as an employer, I see people who go, I want to do it. I know they haven't done this before, but I like it because I'm like, they want to do it. It's taking initiative, right? So they get more opportunities versus people who are quiet, doing their own thing, never asking for things. So please always ask. If you don't ask, you don't get it. If you don't try, you will not succeed. You will not get better. So it can have both implications. good and bad.
Love it. Yeah. Do you think social media has an impact on this? Like, we see that yes. every time that everyone is perfect and they show the best part of their lives.
Yeah.
And when you are behind this, your phone or your screen, you're like, why am I not like this? Why am I not rocking every day, right?
Yeah, I do. I think it has implications. However, there's good and bad in everything. It's what you choose to spend more time on. So I'll give you an example. I'm going to take two platforms. One is LinkedIn. One is Instagram. Mm-hmm. Instagram, stop using Instagram, okay? Stop using Instagram. And I know it's a kind of like we can pretend that it's okay. You know, there are all these perfect people. We all know nobody's perfect. Nobody looks exactly like that. No hashtag, no filter. No. You still have filter. Who cares, right? Like we know that. So Instagram, platforms like Instagram that are founded on vanity, look at my life, look at how amazing I am. If you focus and spend more time on that, oh yeah, you're going to feel like, oh, look at her or look at them. Wow. Like I don't look like that or I don't feel that good. And most of the time, the more time you spend on social media, and it's been well-studied fact, you're going to feel depressed. You're just going to feel depressed. You're not taking action. We all have the same hours in the day. We're choosing to spend so much time on Instagram looking at other people's perfect lives. Obviously, you're going to feel like I'm not good enough. And you may not even post it. I'll give you a quick example of what happened to me. Was it last year or the year before? So 2 years ago, I think it was 2 years ago. I remember it was COVID, right? And I was feeling pretty crappy, okay? Like a lot of people were feeling crappy around COVID time, but I remember I was feeling so crappy. My first thing was to go on Instagram to feel better about myself. So sometimes, I mean, sure, use it to your advantage if you can. But I remember going up there and I posted this beautiful family photo of me, my husband, my two kids. And I started to get a lot of likes. And I was waiting for those likes, right? Like I was constantly refreshing. Okay, how many more likes do I have? I know it sounds so stupid, but it was like, okay, how many more likes have I had? But interestingly, I realized that what am I doing? I was like, there's so many people who look up to me and I am posting this photo of my family in a perfect setting. Beautiful. We live on an island. It's beautiful. You know, there's beautiful backdrop. Everybody was looking happy. And I thought, wait a minute, anybody who's going to look at my social media is going to think, wow, Himera has an amazing life. And I do, right? Like for the most part, I do. I say for the most part. But it's, and in that moment, I think there was a huge disconnect. I realized I was actually feeling depressed. Yet I went on there and I posted this perfect family photo so that others would think that my life is perfect. And I was like, what am I doing? So, because if I was courageous, if I was authentic, which I like to think I am, I'm very authentic, but if I was being my true self, I would have actually posted feeling crappy, feeling depressed, hashtag help me, right? I didn't. Yeah. I did the opposite. So then I was like, wow, how many more people are actually doing that? And I am looking at their lives. Because if you looked at that one, you'd be like, wow, Himera's got it all. Like she looks so happy. Like look at their family. Like they're doing great. I was not doing great, right? And so stop using platforms. So I actually stopped. So that was a day where I was like, what am I doing? And have the self-awareness to realize this is bad. This is not okay. Because not only are you doing yourself disservice, because then I'm going to do more of that. Every time I'm depressed, I'm going to post a photo of this perfect life. I'm going to get these compliments and people will tell me, oh, this is great. Like, good for you. Everybody looks great. But I'm still feeling terrible. So then moving forward, I'm going to look for that validation every single time I feel that way. So I had to stop that. And since then, I've actually made my Instagram private because I was like, great. Like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to be dishonest with myself and others. However, on the other side, there's this platform called LinkedIn, which we all use. Mm-hmm. LinkedIn is, I believe it has this amazing potential to evolve into something incredible. I mean, you can use it however you like, but for me, I've seen in the last especially year, more and more people that I look up to, they're talking about their failures. They're talking about their tough times. They're talking about how, you know, they tried this thing, didn't work out. Here's what they've learned from it. But they're showing us that this could, this is us too. We feel this way too. We have had a lot of failures in our lives, but here's what we did. And then when you look at those people, you go, wow, but they're so, like, they're legit, like, they're successful. Okay. So if they are showing and sharing with us that they've been through tough times, they have failed, they have been made fun of, great, because I feel this way and that's okay. I could still get there one day. So I think just, you know, social media can have both good and bad implications. It's what you choose to put your time in. It's what you choose to focus on and shift the narrative. So choose platforms wisely. It can be great. It can be bad. But I think choose to focus on people who are authentic. That's why Brené Brown, she's so successful now. Why? Because she talks about shame, because she talks about vulnerability. And it's hard. But when somebody like that does it, she was invited on Oprah. She's invited on all big platforms, right? Why? Because she's talking about something that we all feel, whether it's shame, whether it's feeling rejected, whether it's feeling we're not good enough. But still put yourself out there and work through it. So I would say choose platforms wisely, focus more where you can learn from others and be better. And it's okay to watch crappy shows. It's okay to watch or, you know, scroll on Instagram as long as you're not comparing. Because it's the death of everything. Even if you are good enough, you're going to start to feel you're not good enough, which is going backwards. So don't do it. So yeah, long story short.
Wow, that's great. Okay, we have a couple minutes more, but I want to ask you, like, what is that advice like we need to have in our minds? I know that practice and everything, but can we become imposter syndrome in an opportunity for us to take the next challenges in our careers and lives for sure?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, again, like, it's completely normal when you feel imposter syndrome. You are not alone. You are not the only one. But how you choose to work with imposter syndrome and you're faced with it is your choice. I can tell you all that I want to or all that I've experienced, but it's you. So if you have this job opportunity and you're like, you know what? Like, we talk about like women versus men, like women will apply to jobs. And this is such a common, you know, everybody talks about it. It's like women will apply to jobs only if they're 100% qualified. They check everything on the list. Men will apply even if they're 60% qualified. Because they're like, if I don't know it, I'll learn. I've seen my husband has done it. You know, he gets promotions every year. Oh, yeah. Like, I remember seeing like, oh, wow, like, it's amazing. I didn't realize at the time what was happening, but I've known about it for a long time. So it's true. Like, men will do it because they see so many men in leadership. They see so many men succeed. But women, we don't see enough, right? We don't see enough representation. So we go, I don't know many women. It must be really hard. I must have to be a unicorn to be able to do that. No, it's because we want perfection. We want to be amazing at everything. And just know, if you're already amazing at everything in that, say, like, job description as an example, you should already be applying for something that you don't have all the qualifications for. That should be your sign to go, oh, I am beyond great for this. I should actually apply for the job that's a level above that. So I think just again, sorry, what was your question again? I just got so passionate about it.
No worries. Like, how we can overcome the imposter syndrome to make it like opportunities.
Yes, absolutely. So again, it's where you identify, okay, make a list. If you're a list maker, whatever works for you, this is how I'm feeling. Write down your thoughts. I feel self-doubt. I feel this. And then look at why. Why am I feeling self-doubt? Oh, it's because I haven't done this before. Or, oh, there's a lot for me to learn. Great. Can I learn it? Can I grow? You know, maybe we should do a flow chart where it's like, can I learn? Can I grow? If the answer is yes, go for it. If it's like, am I interested in this? Is this going to help me, you know, level up my career? If the answer is yes, go for it. I think, again, this should be almost like our indicators to go for something when we feel challenged. And always, always, always talk to somebody who may look like they have it all, but they look like you. I think that's also really important to talk to people who've been there and done that. I was at this conference in Ottawa, and I ran into the COO of Thinkific, you know, amazing company in Vancouver. She is fantastic. So we had never met before. I go, "Hey, Miranda." So Miranda looks back and she's like, "Hi." And then she's, because I said it with such excitement, she thought we knew each other. And then she was not remembering me, right? Because she was just like, because obviously, like, if I'm like, "Hey," like, who does that, right? It's only you do it with people that you're friends with. So she was just like, "Hi," like, "I'm, you know," and I was like, "Don't worry, you don't know me. Or maybe you know of me because we're connected on LinkedIn, but we haven't met before." And then she goes, "Oh," and I was like, "But I just wanted to come here and tell you, you are fantastic, Miranda. I look up to you. What you've done is amazing, because not many women in executive leadership founders have had billion-dollar companies." I was like, "You're fantastic. You're my role model." And all, you could see in her face. All of a sudden, she's like, "Thank you." I mean, yeah. Right now, I actually have chills just thinking about my interaction with her. Because even though, to me, she's here, right? And I want to get there. But she is already like, she's like, "Wow, thank you." We all need validation. Yeah. So that was a moment where I was like, wow, like, she probably felt imposter syndrome, right? Or she probably felt like, you know, maybe she's not that great enough. I don't know. But just the way she interacted with me, it was like, "Thank you." Anyway, and then we took a photo together, and yeah, I'm super fangirling over here, but you know, just push through. If you don't push through, somebody else will. And if you don't do it, how are you going to inspire others to do, you know, after you? So be that role
That's
model.
That's impressive. Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing all these tips and advice that is going to help us all to face these challenges in our life.
Thanks for listening to the Van Hack Podcast. Make sure to create your account at vanhack.com to access jobs that are hiring from abroad.